Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller, and today we talk all things indoor and outdoor gardening with Lisa Johnson, Dane County UW Extension Horticulture Educator. It's a pleasure to have her along, and she'll be with us right up till 12:30 today. And Joy Cardine is with us as well. Joy, great to have you stop by.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. Good to be here. Happy to help encourage listeners to Garden Talk to call in a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-383-9772, the number to call to support Garden Talk and all of what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio with a contribution of any amount. And you can also pledge on the web at wpr.org.
Garden Talk has been one of our most popular programs, certainly one of my most popular programs, and we've always had great support from those people who really enjoy hearing about indoor and outdoor plants. And, you know, you're one of those people, too, as you listen in. And when you call in with your contribution, you're going to be helping support and giving credence to having a show every week that deals with gardening, the indoor plants, the outdoor plants, and we have a little bit of a thank you gift, I guess we could say, for those who contribute at least $120. And Joy, the book is called Compost.
Yeah, a natural way to make food for your garden. This is a wonderful book with great illustrations and all the information you need to know about understanding compost, why you should compost, making it, choosing compost bins, how you should use it, the stuff you should use for compost. So a way to keep your gardens healthy and happy and well-fed. Yours, our thank you gift to you for a pledge of $120 a year or more. That's $10 a month or more to Garden Talk this hour and a half at 1-800-383-9772. And not only will you get the compost book for that $10 a month or more contribution, but you will also get the member benefit card.
So you'll have an opportunity to dine, two-for-one dining across Wisconsin, among other, some other events in there as well. I've used it for the dining, and I have more than covered the cost because I weed out a lot anyway. And so I was kind of keeping track, and the only disappointment I have was when I forgot one time and went to an upscale restaurant, and I could have saved about $50
It'll pay for itself if you remember to use it, so you can feed yourself with the two-for-one entrees with the member benefit card, and you can feed your garden with the compost book, the information that you get in the compost book. 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or pledge on the web at WPR.org. And Larry, this is one of my favorite programs on Wisconsin Public Radio because I'm a novice gardener. I try to. I'm not very good at it, but I try to garden, and I'm going to be interested to listen along today because I have a huge gardening project that I have to do this spring. I have to replace all these big, old, overgrown evergreen bushes that were in front of my house that finally, after 10-some years, we have removed, and now I've just got this naked front lawn. Yeah. I've got to do something with it. So I'm looking forward to getting some great ideas, and I always get great ideas from all of your great guests on Garden Talk. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
And you and I will be doing a little boat ride this summer, and I want to really mention that as well.
Looking forward to that, yeah.
Yeah, for a $1,200 contribution, you can join Joy and myself and Gene Faraca. On June 30th, we'll be taking a cruise around Lake Minota, and then we'll be dining, and what have we got, prime rib and chicken breasts and all sorts of assorted salads.
It's a really nice buffet. I remember that. We did this last year. It sold out. It was a lot of fun. Great food, great drink, great company, because all sorts of wonderful public radio listeners who are huge fans of Larry Mueller's program in particular were
and Joy's program and Gene's
fun.
Program.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun.
And then we'll be off to our home, which is only a couple hundred yards away from the dock. And Renee has put together some ideas for some wonderful desserts. And so we'll be doing desserts and have some more drinks at our place. And you can ask any question you want about what's going on behind the scenes at Wisconsin Public Radio.
We are planning some entertainment. We're going to have some sort of trivia, quiz, bingo type thing. We'll have some sort of fun entertainment for us all to take part in, too. And I'm really looking forward to it, Larry. It was such a great time last year. And it's also on the weekend of Madison's Rhythm and Booms fireworks display. Isn't that right?
Lots of people come to this event, and then they go off and watch the fireworks. And if you're from out of town, we also provide some information on where to stay and things, places you could, if you want to make a weekend out of it and you're not around here. It's $1,200, and you become a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle as well. I'm pretty sure we'll also get, I know you're going to get the member benefit card and probably the compost book as well.
So that's right. It's
a package.
$100 a month contribution, a generous contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. You will be a member then of the 9XM Leadership Circle, the call letters of the original Wisconsin Public Radio station. And that entitles you to some benefits as well, at least not the secret handshake, right, Larry?
I gave it out at the last the last event last year. Somebody asked me for the secret handshake, and I don't want to show it here because I'm not sure that all of the people who are watching us are really members of the 9XM Leadership Circle.
But a pledge of any amount is welcome and appreciated.
Absolutely.
It's the $1,200 pledge for the cruise, but do decide to make a contribution of some level to Wisconsin Public Radio to help pay for programs like Garden Talk that you value so much. 1-800-383-9772. And we should remind listeners too, Larry, we forgot almost that we have a special challenge going on this hour.
We do have people who really enjoy Garden Talk have said we're going to put $500 up if you meet your goal. And the goal is for the entire program is $13,000. So that's a hefty goal to reach, and we have a long way to go to reach that goal, but we can make it with your help. When you call in with a contribution or when you go online to WPR.org, no matter what amount, every dollar helps us to reach that $13,000 goal. So give us a call now at 1-800-383-9772. Or go online to WPR.org and sign up.
And remember that the $10 a month pledge or more, the $120 pledge or more a year, will entitle to you, if you want it, our thank you with the book Compost, The Natural Way to Make Food for Your Garden. It's written by Ken Thompson. And also the member benefit card entitling you to those two-for-one entrees at restaurants and two-for-one admission to a lot of cultural events as well. 1-800-383-9772 or go to the web and pledge at WPR.org.
And thanks, Joy. Sure. Come back and visit us again.
I will.
Okay, thanks, Joy. Lisa Johnson, our guest, Dane County UW Extension Horticulture Educator. And Lisa, you looked at the compost book and it looks like a pretty good book from your point of view.
It sure does, Larry. I'm impressed with the way it's laid out. I really looked at the information inside. It's good, basic information, a lot of handy tips, things to do, things not to do. Looks like a really nice book, and it's got some great photos in it as well.
And that's for that $120 contribution. Well, what about you? Do you have a question about your own plants? 1-800-642-1234, the number to call. If you'd like to join in and visit with Lisa Johnson, you're most welcome. If you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. Lisa, what are you hearing, what are you getting for questions around the office these days from folks in Dane County?
Oh, lots of different things. We've had some questions about gypsy moth lately. It's still a good time of year to be looking for gypsy moth egg masses on your oaks and ash and lots of other trees, oiling them. You can oil them up until April, mid-April, with a product called Golden Pest Oil or horticultural oils.
Now, this is not a pesticide per se, is it?
Well, it's registered as such, but it's based on canola oil or soybean oil.
Yeah.
And we don't recommend that you use the stuff right out of your cupboard because that tends to be a little thicker and can damage some thin-barked trees. So we would prefer to have you use the product that they market for this.
But what it really does is suffocate the...
Yeah,
and
suffocate those little buggers right in the in their egg sac. And every time you take out an egg sac, that's probably about 500 less gypsy moth caterpillars. So,
well, that's great to hear. And of course, we're talking trees a little bit here, but we're not going to spend the whole time talking trees. We're certainly going to talk about other things as well. But April 1st is the deadline. You know, if you're going to prune any oak trees, you need to do it before April 1st.
That's right. Yeah, we want to avoid any problems with oak wilt. And so the rule for homeowners is between April and July, do not prune your oaks. So we've still got some time here. And go ahead and get that scheduled.
But not after April.
Not
between April and July. Let's put it that way. Lisa Johnson, our guest. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. Joy mentioned her front of her house now with all those trees cut down. Is that something that the UW Extension horticulture educators help people with?
To some degree. We don't want to compete too much with our commercial partners,
sure.
But we can certainly give advice about different kinds of plants that would work well for different areas in your yard and for different purposes. So, yeah, we're happy to do that.
And also plenty of bulletins, I assume, that would help her out on that. I think there's...
The learningstore.edu, we've got... all of our garden publications, if you click on horticulture, they're broken down into fruits and vegetables, deciduous trees and shrubs, and so on. We've got one here, caring for deciduous shrubs, caring for your deciduous or your established shade trees, many, many others, landscape plants that attract birds, planning and designing your home landscape. All of those can be gotten at learningstore.edu. No, it's just Learning Store. It's kind of new. learningstore.edu.
You know, as I think about our own home, we've got lots of plants. And one of the things this year with all the cold weather, our house got drier probably than it should have. And I'm finding that we have trees in the house, and I'm finding that I'm having to water those a couple times a week.
Right.
Surprised how dry that soil, how fast the soil gets dry.
Right. And the indoor relative humidity can drop to desert-like proportions. We can have 10 and 20% humidity, which is really very, very dry. So I'm not surprised to hear that at all. Those plants that require a lot of humidity, especially the ones from the tropics, you might want to place on a tray of pebbles and then you put water in the tray. And so the plants are not sitting in water, but as the water evaporates, it helps to add some humidity to the air.
Yeah, some of the plants are, weighing in at
more difficult.
So those are a little bit harder to work with. Well, what about spring seeds now? We've got seed, certainly we're getting the seed catalogs. I have the Jung's catalog. I was taking a look at that one. They're celebrating 100 years this year. It's their centennial.
I know, isn't that wonderful?
It's always fun to look through the Jung's or any of the seed catalogs for that matter and to kind of pick out what you're going to do for flowers and veggies and so forth. What about starting seeds indoors? What are the times to kind of consider for that?
Well, it depends on what you're growing, but for a lot of the vegetables, starting them inside March 15th is not a bad idea. I've got our publication here. It's called The Vegetable Cultivars and Planting Guide for Wisconsin Gardens. That's publication A1653, and it gives the dates for indoor and outdoor planting for a lot of our popular crops. Now, a lot of the cold weather things can be put outside much earlier. Your peas, radishes, lettuce, you can start those in cold frames in late March or early April. And the peas can probably go in around the 15th of April. So there's a lot that we've just gotten our seeds in at the Dane County office for our children's garden and teaching garden. So now I'm in the process of contacting master gardeners to plant all those things. So it's always fun when the seeds start germinating.
Lisa Johnson, Dane County UW Extension horticulture educator, our guest. Give us a call if you have a question for her at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Open lines, we'll get you on pretty quick. I'm Larry Mueller. Keisha Mabra, our on-air producer. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller with Lisa Johnson, Dane County UW Extension horticulture educator. Happy to have you listening in. And again, if you have a question for us, feel free to join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. I'm looking at the weather forecast for the weekend, and across Wisconsin, it's quite a bit different. In southern Wisconsin, we're looking at 11 to 15 inches of snow, and further north, I think it's a lot less snow. But I'm wondering about this winter. It's certainly across the state, we had some very cold temperatures. I don't care where you lived in Wisconsin, you were in some cold weather. How is that winter weather had any effect, you think, on our outdoor plants?
Well, now that's the million-dollar question there.
Yeah, multi-million-dollar question.
Right, right. We're a little concerned this winter because, as you remember, we had such warm temperatures in January, but we did drop down a little bit gradually. We didn't just plummet when we began to get those very cold temperatures. So we're hoping that the plants will be able to weather this. What you want to avoid is a lot of freezing and thawing. You want the plants to get frozen and stay frozen, and you prefer the temperatures not to dip below the zero mark for too long.
Mm-hmm.
So we may have some damage on some of the more tender shrubs. We may also, if we continue the trend of having 30s and 40s and having windy, sunny weather, we may have some evergreen burn to worry about. The winter burn can be a problem this time of year when the plants start. The evergreens never go completely dormant, and so they start transpiring and giving off water when the sun is out and the temperatures are warm, but they can't pull up any water to replace it from the soil. So that's when we get our worst problems with burn.
Yeah, and that's really not, once that plant, that evergreen has had some branches or parts of it turn brown, there's no...
Those particular buds don't come back, no.
So that's kind of too bad.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Whoa, boy, 1-800-642-1234, give us a call. What about our perennial flowers and such?
I'm hoping that because we did have some good snow cover, unlike the past couple of years where we've had very unpredictable amounts of snow, that we probably will be okay because we got good snow cover to cover those crowns and roots before the real cold weather hit. Now it's starting to melt, and so I'm kind of glad, although I'm sure I won't be so happy when I'm shoveling that 8 to 12 inches of snow, I'm kind of glad that we're getting some more because we've still got a lot of February to go in March, and we could get some more cold weather yet, so I'd like to have that blanket down to protect the perennials.
Surprising this year, and it bodes kind of not so well if we don't get more moisture. I know in Northern, I was talking with Lois Gorgie who's living in the Eau Claire area right now, and they haven't had a lot of snow this winter.
Right.
And even further north, our folks in Superior, you know, really just a few inches of snow in some parts up there. And so that snow is moisture, too.
Right. Yeah, I just heard on the Weather Channel this morning that Minnesota has had just very minimal amounts of snow this year. So they're hurting in the moisture category, too.
Have we got some new varieties? Every year, I know UW Extension comes out with recommendations and oftentimes on varieties of vegetables and so forth to plant. And what are some, are there some new things this year that you know about?
Not particularly new things. I always look to the AAS, the All-American selections, for new plants, both perennials, well, perennials, annuals, and vegetables. I always check with Judy Reith Rosell out at the West Madison Ag Station to see what she grew last year, to find out what I should order for this year. And some of the things that she was talking about, I'd been talking to her about squash. I had found out that the dean of the Ag and Life Sciences College, Molly John, had bred a delicata squash, which is my favorite squash. And so I thought, oh gosh, we got to grow that in the teaching garden. And Judy said, yeah, that one's really good, but you also ought to try bonbon. She said that one's a real good one. And she gave me a couple of other examples, too.
Well, and I know that she, Dean John, also worked on some broccoli, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I don't know about that one. I'll have to research that.
There's a golden one out there. Pam in Spring Green will go to you. Pam, hi. Thank you for calling. Let's see if we got Pam. Well, first I have to, there. Now I think we've got you. Pam, hello.
Hi.
I didn't push the button hard enough, Pam. It wasn't your fault.
No, okay. I have some dappled willow that's got really leggy, and I wanted to know when I could prune that and also when I can prune clematis.
Okay. For the willow, you can prune it when it's dormant. You can probably prune it. I mean, you can prune it during the growing season as well.
Okay.
Are you talking about the Hakuro Nishiki that's got the pink and the white? And
yeah.
It does get leggy. It's a very fast-growing, vigorous plant.
Should I prune it way back?
You can do that. How big is the plant right now?
It's about, I guess, around 4 feet.
Okay, you could probably take half of that back.
Great, okay.
And if it's in a place, it sounds like it's in a place where it's happy, it should grow that back fairly quickly.
And then okay. You had a question about clematis?
Yeah,
pruning clematis, too. I've got some that are totally out of control.
Okay. Now, the clematis are a little bit difficult for me to say unless I know what type you have. There are three different pruning regimes. One is for plants that bloom on old wood. One is for plants that bloom on new wood and are really vigorous, and another one is for plants that bloom on new growth and they're not so vigorous.
Oh, dear.
Do you know what kind you have, Pam?
No, I think you know that I don't now.
Is it one of the Jackman clematis that's really dark purple, large flowers?
Yeah, I have a dark purple, and then I have sort of a raspberry red, and then I have one that's the sweet autumn.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, the Jackman, you can usually prune back rather severely. You want to wait until you see the first buds coming up and then cut up everything above that. And I'm not real sure about your red-flowered one because I have no idea which one it is among the thousands of clematis. And the sweet autumn clematis is a very vigorous one. So I would treat that one. I'm trying to remember which category it falls into, but I think you'd probably be safe with cutting that back half.
Half.
Yeah.
And at the same time when the first buds show?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, Pam, for calling. And on to Dave in Heartland. Dave, hi.
Yeah, hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple of pruning questions also. I haven't gotten around to doing the winter pruning yet. And I have a grapevine, which I just planted last year for the first time and grew pretty well. And then also I have a couple of peach trees and apple trees that I'd like to prune back. I'm just wondering, with the winter weather, whether this is still a good time to do that.
Yes, it is. With fruit trees, you want to do all your pruning during the dormant season, if at all possible. Now, there are some things that you can't do during the dormant season, but you want to do the bulk of your pruning now.
And on the grapevine?
The grapevine, usually you can do in about March.
There's a really nice extension publication on growing grapes in Wisconsin. And I've told this story before, but I had a friend and I said, get a copy of that. And then I kind of forgot. And then the next year I'm looking at his grapevines and, man, have you got the grapes? And he said, well, I've got your extension publication. So you might go online to learningstore.edu and you can look at it online, or I don't know if you can print it off. You might be able to print it off.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure on that one.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And on to John in New Richmond. Hi, John.
Hi. See, I am anticipating the need for a hedge or a screen of trees. I'm looking for something other than an evergreen or a pine tree that's going to grow up fairly thick, fairly quick. I want to screen out, this sounds bad, but I want to screen out a housing development that's going to be going in, adjoining my property soon. I'm wondering what you can recommend.
Okay. Are you looking for something that's going to flower, and is this in shade or sun?
It would be in full sunlight. Flowering or non-flowering doesn't really... I suppose flowers would be nice, but it's not required.
Okay. And how tall does it have to be to screen
this
out?
You know what? It can get as tall as it wants. 8 to 10 feet would be a minimum.
Okay.
Okay. All right. If we're looking at shrubs, I would look at the Arrowwood Viburnum, I think would be a really good choice. That one does get to be 10 to 12 feet or possibly more.
Okay.
Don't get one of the short varieties like Blue Muffin, because that one takes a longer time to get up there.
Okay.
But Autumn Jazz, a whole bunch of different ones that are out there. The Arrowwood Viburnums have wonderful fall color, and they're fairly twiggy plants. Mm-hmm. They're also resistant to the viburnum borer, which is why I'm not going to recommend the High Bush Cranberry Viburnum. Mm-hmm. You could also look at, if you wanted something taller, you might want to look at good old-fashioned French lilac. Those can make a fairly effective screen. And you could look at some smaller trees, such as the amelanker or serviceberry. That's a beautiful, beautiful tree. Wonderful flowers in the spring, berries that attract birds in the summer, good fall color. But you want to get ones that are multiple stemmed.
Okay.
And wouldn't it, would it be all right to plant, instead of just one of those, wouldn't it be all right to plant maybe every one of those you recommended along them?
Yeah, I usually like to recommend more diversity, if possible, in the planting, not only for aesthetics, but for the health of the planting. And if you would have something like viburnum borer come in, then you wouldn't lose your whole, or lilac borer for that matter, you wouldn't lose your whole planting.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, John, for calling. And let's go to Renee in Chippewa Falls next. Hi, Renee.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I have three apple trees in my backyard that we planted, and one is 8 years old, and it's going to be 8 years old, and it has never had an apple. We have one that's 5 years old and has had one apple, and the other one we just planted last year. So I'm wondering why and how exactly do I trim them?
All right. For the not fruiting, boy, there are a whole bunch of reasons. In fact, we've got an info source message. If you go to, Larry, is that infosource.edu?
I believe so.
Yeah. Then if you look up fruit trees, why they fail to bear, this is... it's a little bit complicated. If it's a standard size tree, they can take up to 7 or 8 years to start to bear.
It's a dwarf.
Okay, well,
it's
then it should be bearing a dwarf Honeycrisp.
Yes.
Okay.
And the one that had one apple is a, I believe it might be a dwarf Sweet 16.
Okay. And you know for sure that these bloom at the same time, right?
Those two do. The new one that we got was kind of an accident. It's an early bearing, and in Chippewa, you're not going to get early bearing.
Mm-hmm.
No. So they both bloom at the same time. Yes.
Okay. You can have problems. I don't know what the weather's been like in Chippewa the past few years, but there are some varieties that are less winter hardy, and unfortunately, I don't know Honeycrisp. That's such a new variety for me. I love the apples, though.
Well,
where I live is apple orchard area.
Okay.
So
that shouldn't be the problem.
No, and there's a lot of neighbors that have apple trees in the area, too, and they're all bearing, and I'm getting nothing.
Okay. Have you done a lot of pruning on them?
No.
No pruning at all.
How about fertilizing?
Fertilizing? Yes, I did some fertilizing.
Okay. Is it a high nitrogen fertilizer?
I don't know. I don't remember what I did.
That could be the problem right there.
Yeah. With fruit trees, you want to avoid high nitrogen because it tends to create a lot of lush leafy growth, but at the expense of producing flowers and fruits.
Okay.
If you haven't been pruning, pruning has a whole lot to do with how the plant is going to be able to bear. You really need to make sure that you do your pruning. What you want to create is a shell of production, basically. With the apples, the inside of the tree tends to be a lot less productive than the outside. Now, since these are still fairly young trees, I'm guessing that probably isn't your problem yet.
Okay.
But you might want to look up our publication on pruning apple trees, again, at the learningstore.edu, and that gives you all of the details about how to do your pruning. And there's a hierarchy that you follow with taking out dead and crossing branches and taking out water sprouts and suckers and so on. And it tells you all about creating windows of light and so on. And also, if these tend to be very upright branches, those are less fruitful than branches that have like a 60-degree angle coming out from the trunk. So you may want to do a little bit of bending and weighting of the branches so that they are able to collect those carbohydrates and fruit better.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. You know, Terrell Roper sometimes talks about scarring the tree or doing a little knife cut in the bark to...
Yeah.
but he knows how to do that.
Yeah, right. I'm always a little leery about recommending it because I'm just worried about it.
So we won't bring that up today, but we'll go to Brian and Pulaski. By the way, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890. And while you're at it, if you contribute $120, we'll send you a copy of the book Compost, The Natural Way to Make Food for Your Garden by Ken Thompson, part of our little thank you gift. Just go online to WPR.org as you're listening and you can make a contribution. But give us a call because we have some open lines to get you on. So let's go to Brian in Pulaski. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got three Austrian pines about 6 foot tall planted about 3 years ago in a semi-windbreak. And on the southern exposure, they are turning brown. Is it a fungus? Is it winter burn? What do you think and what can I do?
Boy, with Austrian pine, it could be either one. There is a disease called Spheropsis, which gives us a lot of problems. The old name for it is diplodia. And Spheropsis just really causes us problems on the Austrian pine. But now you're saying that you're only seeing it on the one side of the tree?
That's correct.
Okay, that could be winter burn then. Is it close to a street where it gets salt spray on it?
No, it's in our field. It is probably 20 feet from our driveway, which is a long driveway.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you put a lot of salt on the driveway?
None.
Okay. Well, then it probably isn't salt. It could be the winter burn. We do tend to see that more often on the south side. I don't think of Austrian pine as being one of the plants that I typically see that on so much. Have you noticed a lot of resin dripping from any of the branches?
I haven't, no. And we've looked at it, you know, we look at it throughout the year, you know, walking around in our field.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, we haven't. And there's, like I said, three trees, and one is pretty predominant you know, suffering from that, and the other two are lagging closely behind.
Okay, you haven't seen sunken spots on the branches,
no.
Anything like that? Okay, and the other side of the tree looks great.
Looks healthy.
Yeah. Well, okay, it does sound like...
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Are the prevailing winds in that direction?
Well, from the south.
Yeah. Well,
is there anything we can do?
Not a whole lot. You can make sure that the plants are watered really well in the fall. That's what we tell people to do for all evergreens, because that does help alleviate that problem a little bit. Now, you said that it's in a field, a farmed field?
Yes.
Okay.
Farm field.
All right. Is there anything that is sprayed on that field that might be causing this problem?
No, it was like a CRP before we built it.
Okay, fell.
Okay, yeah.
Sounding more and more like wind damage.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, and about the only thing, again, that you can do is keep them well hydrated.
Can this be lethal for the tree? Eventually?
No, it's not likely to. You might wish it would after a while.
They don't look so good.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
All you can do is prune off the dead growth.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Brian, for calling. Let's go to another Brian in Bouquet, Minnesota. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
My question is, I know we produce these little beetle bugs, or kind of ladybugs, aphids, I believe they call them, in the state of Minnesota. They're infested all over in my house and on the trees inside the bark. I'm wondering, are they a wood-eating bug, or how can I get rid of these bugs?
Do they look like ladybugs? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, they look like a ladybug. But...
Okay.
Okay, those are the multicolored Asian lady beetle. And what they're doing in your house and in the bark of the trees is they're finding cozy spots to overwinter. They don't breed in there. They're not bark-eating or wood-eating beetles. They actually feed on aphids. That's their favorite food. So they're actually doing us a service during the growing season by getting rid of those pesty things. But they do become kind of a nuisance during the winter when they get inside your house. And probably the best thing to do is, first of all, try and prevent them from getting in by, you know, checking around windows, doing caulking, and likewise sort of maintenance things. And if you can't prevent them from getting in, if you live in like an old farmhouse, I know people have real problems with those,
then
get out your vacuum, and that you can get rid of them by vacuuming them up.
There is a chemical that you can apply
to the outside of the house
in the fall.
Yeah, it's basically a permethrin based chemical. Cyfluthrin, products containing cyfluthrin or deltamethrin, as well as a few other of the permethrin types, are probably your best bet, because they do have a little bit of residual activity and will help keep those bugs away for a little while. Probably the best time in our area in Madison, usually they start to congregate around the second week in October. I'm not sure in your area in Minnesota when the best time is to spray.
They're pretty much active all summer. I mean, your house is pretty well loaded with them. And then you suck them up, and then you start all over again about a week later. So,
Do you live near a farm field?
No.
You're in a rural area?
Well, basically, they're all over around here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
We're kind of overcome by them. I mean, I think I'm not the only one that speaks on this, because even my relatives, parents, and everybody are kind of overcome with it, even in town.
You know, I wonder if, I'm trying to remember the migration route. Did they come across Michigan, then across Wisconsin, and then now into Minnesota? Are they, because we had big, big numbers
a couple
years ago.
I was just about to tell the caller that relief may be coming, because the populations will build and crash along with their food source. So when the aphid population crashes, these guys should go down too.
That's what's happened here anyway.
And the winter may affect them as well.
Good luck, Brian. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Lisa Johnson, Dane County UW Extension Horticulture Educator, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking all things gardening today with Lisa Johnson, Dane County UW Extension Horticulture Educator. I'm Larry Mueller. Joy Cardine joins us again. And Joy, we've got a challenge to meet this
That's
program.
Right. It is a hefty challenge, a $13,000 goal by the end of the program, which is 12:30. Mm-hmm. And if we make that $13,000 goal, another $500 kicked in by Garden Talk fans. Is that right, Larry?
That's exactly right. They will be contributing another $500 to the kitty here, and they won't unless we meet our goal. You can help us meet that goal with a contribution at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. We have a nice thank you gift for you this time around. If you contribute at least $120, we'll send you a copy of Compost, The Natural Way to Make Food for Your Garden. And as Lisa was saying earlier, this is a really good book. It's the chapters going through making compost. There are some ways to do it and ways that you probably shouldn't do it. And it talks about that. It talks about compost bins, wood, wire, and worm compost bin. And, you know, why you want to may have a bin, choosing one, the pros and cons of the plastic and the wooden bins, how to make your own bins from chicken wire to straw, whether to cover the compost. The more bins, the merrier, he says. Exploiting the hot stuff is another topic. And then using the compost, when it's ready, where to use it, reasons not to dig, the marvels of mulch and making potting mix.
Wow, sounds like a wealth of information in this book to take your gardening to that next level. I know a lot of gardeners compost, and this book has lots of great information on how to keep your garden happy, healthy, and well-fed. And if you would like a copy of the book, all you have to do is call 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go to the web, WPR.org, and pledge $10 a month or more, a $120 annual pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio or more. And if you want the book, it's yours as our thank you for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio and for supporting Garden Talk, a program that you listen to on a regular basis. Probably one of your favorite programs since you're listening right now. 1-800-383-9772. Help support and pay for this program. Get a copy of the book and help us reach that goal, because Larry, we right now have made, $1,500-some so far toward that $13,000 goal. It's a nice start, but $13,000 needs your pledge, too. 1-800-383-9772.
And the compost book will save you a little bit of money, too, because you can use that compost as an inexpensive soil conditioner and obviously for a mulch as well. So, and also remember, with a $120 contribution, we'll send you the member benefit card, and then you'll have 2-for-1 dining around Wisconsin, and that will cover the whole cost of your book. I can just about assure you of that. You'd only have to eat out a few times, and I should say that the member benefit card covers from very low expensive restaurants all the way up to the very high end restaurants.
Some nice family restaurants on the list, and some very fine dining establishments on the list of participating restaurants too. I think there are now more than 250 restaurants around the state of Wisconsin. Many in your community, I'm sure, or nearby. 1-800-383-9772. Make a pledge of any amount to help support Wisconsin Public Radio, because this is listener-supported radio. We couldn't do a program like this without your support. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
And I should also mention that if you can contribute $1,200, we'll be glad to invite you to our cruise on Lake Minota on June 30th. Joy and I and Gene Faraca and a whole gang of people who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio will be joining to go on this cruise. We'll have a great buffet, clam chowder, what have we got here? All kinds of things, prime rib, chicken breasts, assorted meats, other assorted meats and cheeses, salads, too numerous to mention, drinks, all that, and then we'll go to my place.
And the really good food is going to be there.
Renee's
desserts. Renee is a wonderful, she's a former pastry chef, isn't that right,
yeah,
Larry?
She
your
is.
Wife?
Yeah, she
and
was.
They were delicious, delicious desserts at Larry's house. Lots of fun and games and conversation at Larry's house, too, after the cruise on Saturday, June 30th. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 5, the cruise, I think.
Yeah, something like that, and then after that.
And then after that, your house.
Over to our place for desserts and beverages of all sorts, beer and wine and other soft drinks.
I hope we can give away at least a few pairs of those tickets during this edition of Garden Talk. We
About 10 would be great.
That would be really nice. There are a limited number. It did sell out last summer, so I hope if you would like to go on this cruise and are able to go on this cruise that you call in right now with that $100 a month pledge to 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or WPR.org is the where you can pledge on the web.
And there are only 25 pairs of those tickets. Actually, there are no longer. I think we're down to 23.
Yeah,
we got a few of those tickets scarfed up already. And I know last year we actually had some people who said, well, can't I get in now? But we had already filled up. There's only so many people. There are only so many life preservers on the boat, folks. It's a safe boat. It's a beautiful boat, as a matter of fact. It's a wonderful boat. And it'll seat about 50 people or so. And you'll enjoy the boat ride, and I think you'll enjoy Renee's desserts as well, and the chance to talk with us. We'll certainly be talking with you throughout the day of the trip. You can ask any kind of behind-the-scenes or in-front-of-the-scenes questions about Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we always have some fabulous prizes for our contest. This year we're going to make a little different contest and have a Wisconsin Public Radio trivia.
That's right. And we'll have some fun prizes and books and things that probably all of us have talked about, Gene and Larry and I, as prizes for that. But the important thing is to make a pledge of any amount because you appreciate this programming. Please support it with a contribution. 1-800-383-9772. Pledges of any amount are needed, appreciated, and make you a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. And every pledge will add up and help us reach that $13,000 goal that we have at 12:30, and then we'll get that extra $500 with the challenge grant going on during this program. And Larry, it would be a shame not to reach that goal to get that $500, because $500 goes a long way in paying for the programming that you value. 1-800-383-9772.
And I think it was a little bit of a stretch at first to wonder whether or not we could have a show on gardening virtually every week here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And enough people thought, I thought it would work, and enough people, Joy thought it would work, enough of us thought it would work that we gave it a shot. And I'm certain that it's one of our more popular programs, and I get more comments from people about the Garden Talk shows than almost any other show. And so it's kind of a vote in a way from you if you're contributing during this particular 90 minutes of the day. It's a vote in favor of this kind of programming. Great guests like Lisa Johnson and all of Dick Zondag from Jung's and all of the people that we have. Many UW Extension horticulture educators come on the show over the course of the year. Melinda Myers from Milwaukee comes on. She's a former UW horticulture educator. She comes on. A lot of people come on and give of their time to help answer your questions about your flowers or your trees or your shrubs or your vegetables. And if you appreciate that kind of programming, contribute now at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. That saves us a little bit of money in terms of processing if you can do it online. But a phone call is fine, too. Whatever you do, now is a good time to do it.
It is a great time to do it. And, Larry, I know that I get so much information from Garden Talk. I got a lot of information just listening along in the past half hour to help me with that bare front yard of mine. And I will be tackling that project with the help that I get from your great guests on Garden Talk. 1-800-383-9772 or on the web at WPR.org. We have crossed the $2,200 mark, but still need your pledge to help us reach that goal of $13,000 to get the extra $500 in a challenge from other Garden Talk fans. 1-800-383-9772.
You know, Jim Packard wrote a little note to me about the book Compost, The Natural Way to Make Food for Your Garden. And he says in the book, Ken Thompson covers paper, pruning, and patience, takes the wiggle room out of wood, wire, and worms, shows why digging is for dummies, and explains why size does matter when it comes to hot composting.
Jim, what a wordsmith he is. And you know what, Larry? Another idea I just thought of is one time I pledged during your program, during uh-huh. Garden Talk, mm-hmm. because not only did I do I appreciate this program and wanted to help support this program, but I also wanted to give a gift membership to somebody I know who is a huge gardening fan, a much better gardener than I am. And I knew that the particular book being given away during that particular Garden Talk a couple of pledge drives ago was something that particular gardener would love. So that's another idea for you. If you know someone who loves gardening and want to give them a gift membership, you can do that too. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
That's the way to do it. You listen and enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm sure you're listening to Garden Talk. You enjoy Garden Talk. We need you to support this service, and that's why we're asking you to call in right now with your contribution and your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio. $120 contribution will send you both the book Compost, The Natural Way to Make Food for Your Garden, and we'll also send you the member benefit card. And if you can afford $1,200, why not join us on our public radio cruise and have some great food. That's on June 30th. That weekend, that's a Saturday. Saturday night is the Rhythm and Booms fireworks show in Madison. I believe it's the biggest one in the Midwest.
Yes, it is, yeah.
We can give you some tips if you're from out of town and want to stay in town on where to stay and overnight.
There's and where else can you find Larry Mueller, Joy Cardine, and Gene Ferracca on a boat together?
Probably nowhere else.
It'll be a lot of fun, and I hope that you will consider making a contribution of $100 a month to join us on the boat, and more importantly, to support Wisconsin Public Radio to help pay for this program and all of what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. You are the most important part of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Call in a pledge of any amount during this program to help us reach that $13,000 goal.
And Lisa Johnson, Dade County UW Extension Horticulture Educator, is going to be with us to answer more of your questions. So stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Don't forget, 800-383-9772 or go to WPR.org and make your pledge. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Lisa Johnson, Dane County UW Extension Horticulture Educator. We'll go right to the phones now, and Dave in Ridgeway. Thanks for waiting, Dave. Hello. Dave, are you with us? Oh, we lost Dave. I'm sorry. Paul in Augusta, your turn. Hi, Paul.
Oh.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I have a question about pruning some apple trees.
Okay.
I got... We have what we call the twins in the backyard. And two trees that have grown in pretty much the same spot, you know? And I bet they're about 20 feet, 25 feet tall. And it looks like a big bush.
Oh.
You know, we bought the property about 3 years ago, and we haven't trimmed it, and the previous owners haven't trimmed it. And it looks pretty bad.
Okay.
You know, it produces apples about the size of golf balls.
Yeah.
You know, so I was wondering how much of this can I take off without killing it? You know,
you can get rid of quite a bit.
Yeah, you can. You may need to do it, though, over time. The first thing I'm going to do is recommend that you check out our publication on the website, because pruning apples is something that needs to be done carefully. You just can't whack anything. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you leave enough buds for next year's production. But we have a publication at thelearningstore.edu that I think it's called Training and Pruning Apple Trees. You can find that there, and it'll give you instructions on exactly how to do it. But one of the first things you probably would need to look at is taking out the water sprouts. Those are the kind of whippy-looking, very upright sprouts that are on the inside of the tree. You also need to take out branches that are crossing or rubbing or dead or damaged. And you're taking out a lot from the center of the tree, because with apple trees, you're kind of trying to create a shell of production on the outside. And after you've done all of the recommended types of pruning, if you need to take down the height a little bit, it also gives you some instructions on that. Sounds like you've got an old standard-sized apple tree, which or apple trees, I should say, which are probably a bit more on the difficult side to harvest and to spray and prune and all of that. So you probably have to get out your ladder, sharpen up your pruning tools. This is the time of year to do it.
Yeah, we have three other trees, and they're pretty well under control. It's just this one was...
Well, pick up a copy of that, or get a copy on, go online and get a copy of that publication, and then, as Lisa says, get the ladder out and get started. There are a lot of things you could do, as she indicated right off the bat.
All right, great.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks a lot for calling. Dave in Ridgeway, I think we got, who had been waiting patiently. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Last fall, we had to rearrange our driveway, which means I had to move my evergreen shrubs, and I think they're Japanese yews, and I watered them until it got too cold. What is the chances of them going to make it through the winter since I had to move them? I moved them in late October.
Oh, boy. That's really iffy.
Great.
And I'm saying that partly because of the lateness of the time of year, partly because they're evergreens, but also partly because we've had such a weird winter temperature-wise. What I'm worried about is that, evergreens don't go completely dormant anyway, but if they weren't well on their way to being as dormant as they get by the time we got really cold, you may have a fair amount of burn. Did you mulch around the roots at all?
No, I didn't.
Okay. And what's your soil like?
It's clay.
It's clay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least it isn't sand. It's going to have a lot to do with it's going to have a lot to, luck at this point in time. But you did do the right thing by making sure that they were well hydrated. And that can go a long way. It's also going to have to do with, whether it's up on the top of a hill, whether there are other shrubs around it that can protect it from winds.
They're on the north side of the house, and they are up in the wind, and there's like 26 of them.
Wow.
Yeah. They're a windbreaker for the driveway is what they are.
I see. I wish you luck. That's you may do okay. Make sure that you start watering them again in spring. A lot of people don't start watering early enough. April rolls around and it seems like the ground is wet enough, and so people don't do it. But particularly with newly planted or transplanted evergreens, you really need to start early.
As soon as the frost, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, Dave, good luck.
All right,
thanks.
Thanks for calling. And Mary and Siren, your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi, thanks for a great show.
Thank you.
I have apple tree questions also. One of my apple trees was about 12 years old and hadn't even blossoms or anything till after the tornado, and now it's blossoming.
Oh, my goodness. Are you in Stoughton?
Pardon me?
Are you in Stoughton?
Siren.
Oh, Siren. Oh,
Siren.
Oh, you're up near Viola. Okay.
I would like to know if there is one spray that I can use that would take care of everything, the bugs and the diseases. I don't like mixing sprays.
Yeah, I understand. Not that I'm aware of.
So what do you recommend?
Well, okay, first of all, do you have one of the disease-resistant apples?
The disease part isn't bad. It's mostly, I think, is the maggots that. And early on, I didn't have any. I think they probably reside in the soil after they finally come to the area.
Mm-hmm. There are some scouting things that you can do. With the sticky balls and so on, to try and at least keep track of them and get them, so that you know whether you're going to have to spray or not. Do you typically have bad problems with them every year?
No, last year was really bad. I usually give so many apples away, but I didn't want to give them away if they were not nice apples.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I would assume because last year was not so good that probably this year will not be so good either.
It's also been very dry up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do want to make sure to keep them in good health, too, because that will also help keep their resistance up to that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't have my product list in front of me, so I don't want to recommend a particular product, but anything that's labeled for apple maggot should be fine.
I've heard of things called some type of an oil that's... Mm-hmm. They say you spray once and then you don't have to spray it again. That doesn't really work, does it?
I don't know of anything like that.
No, I'm not aware of anything like that either. There are dormant oils that you can use on fruit trees that will help with overwintering insects such as scale. But you do only want to put that on once during the winter time. And there are some products. There's a kaolin clay product that either does or doesn't have some insecticides in it. Turns your tree gray, but it does help keep off some of the insects and diseases. So that's a possibility if you're looking for something more along the organic line.
Mm-hmm. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling.
Very much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mary. And Jan in La Crosse, it's your turn now. Hi, Jan.
Hi. You'll have to forgive my voice. It comes and goes.
Little horse. Well, that's okay.
Yeah. My daughter had a sweet autumn vine, and clematis, and it just smelled so strong when you went by it. It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. I bought one, and it doesn't smell.
Wow, is it a new plant?
First year was last year, and it bloomed, and I could not get a fragrance.
That is wild.
I thought so.
Yeah, I've never heard of one that didn't have that really strong fragrance.
Yeah.
Maybe it had something to do with it being a young plant, or if you smelled it on a cold day, lots of fragrances are reduced. Also, if they're in quite a bit of shade, that sometimes can have something to do with it.
Okay, it is partially shaded.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that...
I'd give it a year or two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before yanking it up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The other question I had was, we were discussing piling dirt up around a tree. I said, that's an absolute no-no because it's...
Good smothered. For you.
if that is correct, right?
That is definitely correct.
Absolutely. And same with mulch.
How wide of a circle before you can mound or put something over?
Okay, well, first of all... Give me a little more detail here.
If you're going to put some mulch, is that what you're asking?
They were going to put, they were actually going to pile some dirt around.
No,
you wouldn't do that. And I said, I know that will kill it. Mm-hmm. And then they said, well, how far out can we put a mounding of something? They wanted to put a wooden box around it, and they were going to fill it with dirt and grow something. And I said, no, it isn't going to work.
No.
You can put mulch, if you have the mulch about 6 inches out from the trunk of the tree, but you only want to put, 2 to 4 inches, and you can plant into that. There's no reason you would need to build a box to do that.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to build a box, probably.
Yeah, I have seen that many times before, and there are some trees that'll tolerate that, like silver maple, because it's a bottomland tree. But oaks really don't tolerate it well at all, and I just don't like to recommend it as a normal practice. Mm.
Thanks for calling, Jan. Appreciate your call. And appreciate everybody who calls and listens in here to Wisconsin Public Radio as we are in our drive, our spring drive, we call it the February drive. You can join in and help us reach our goal of $13,000. We've got a long way to go. We have about $9,500 to go to reach our goal of $13,000. And that's actually reachable. We've got a few minutes to go, 12 minutes to go before the end of the program. When you call in with your contribution at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. We've heard from Loretta and Robert in Oconto Falls. They listen all the time in the car. Sometimes they stay in the car to finish a program before coming inside because they have trouble getting reception in the house sometimes. And Joanne in Waukesha, this show just caught me while I was driving. Dennis and Lori in Rhinelander, we love all the traffic information, the terrific information the Ideas Network provides us. Keep up the great work. Tim and Fairchild, I listen almost every day to Larry. Marilyn and Don in Fort Atkinson, I just think it's a great, great show. And Joy Cardine joining us. Those are great things to hear.
Well, hear, hear to all of those comments. And you are listening right now. How about making a contribution to help support this program and all of what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio? Did you know that Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported radio? Did you know that a good part of our budget comes from contributions from listeners like you? Did you know that your contributions help pay for, say, the call-in line to call in your question during Garden Talk and all of the great information that you hear on this program? 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772. Call in your pledge of any amount. Help us reach that goal. Help us get as close as we can to that $13,000 goal to get the extra $500 from Garden Talk fans. 1-800-383-9772.
And don't forget, for a $120 contribution, we'll send you a copy of the book Compost, The Natural Way to Make Food for Your Garden. It's written by Ken Thompson. We'll also send you the member benefit cards with that $120 contribution. And that's two-for-one benefits throughout Wisconsin. Dining benefits, there's performance and attractions. There's some online stores, too, where you can get some deals that way. That's for a $120 contribution. And we could use a few of those, a lot of those, and we could use a few $1,200 contributions as well. And when for $1,200, we'll send you, we'll put you on our cruise, and you can have a drink with Joy and myself and Gene Ferracca.
Or two.
And have some.
It'll be a lot of fun. Saturday, June 30th, we have the boat ready to launch at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'll cruise around Lake Monona. We'll have a wonderful buffet, a late lunch, early dinner, whatever you prefer.
Did you try the clam chowder? That clam chowder,
it was
very good.
Lots of great salads. I remember a wide variety of great food on the buffet, and really a lot of great conversation with listeners like you who love Garden Talk, who love Wisconsin Public Radio, who really it's really a great community, isn't it, Larry? That people from all over the state of Wisconsin who they're very, very different in many different ways, but we share the love of lifelong learning. Mm-hmm. We share the desire to have great in-depth information, and we're all gardeners. If you're listening right now, 1-800-383-9772. Call in your pledge of any amount if you'd like to go on the cruise with Larry and Gene and myself. It's $100 a month at 1-800-383-9772, or go to the web, wpr.org.
Whatever you do, do it right now. If you're planning on a $1,200 contribution, that's wonderful. If you are planning on a $120 contribution, that is just fine as well, or any other amount that you might be thinking about. One of the nice things I've noticed with the 31 people who've called in with contributions, about a little over half of them are new callers, new members. So let me throw that challenge out to you. We've got a challenge grant of $500, and we need to meet that for a $13,000 goal. But if you've never contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio, or maybe you haven't contributed in a long time, but you enjoy Garden Talk and like listening to people like Lisa Johnson and Melinda Myers and all of the other UW Extension horticulture educators we have on the show, and the other programs as well, give us a call right now. It's worth it to support Garden Talk, to let everybody here know that you enjoy this type of programming on Fridays. And I know a lot of people tune in, hardly ever miss Garden Talk, at 1-800-383-9772. or go online to WPR.org.
You know, Larry, this week when we finally got this taste of spring weather, these temperatures in the 30s and even the 40s, I really kind of got the garden fever going a little bit, and the snow melted away from my my naked front lawn, and I started thinking, I can't wait to start digging in that dirt and planting some nice flowers and some shrubs, not the ones that I had removed, but really I'm looking forward to that. Now, of course, this weekend we're going to be reminded that it's winter again. But gardening is such a wonderful. It's really a year long thing because you can be planning and planning your garden when it's snowing outside too. 1-800-383-9772. Call in a pledge of any amount to help pay for a program you value for all of this great advice that you get every week on Garden Talk.
And we've got about $7,000 to go to reach our goal. You know, we can actually do it. We have about 6 minutes of program left, and we have about $7,000 to go. So
it's going to be a challenge, but you know what? Every pledge adds up. Every pledge of $120 a year, if you would like the member benefit card and the book Compost to get all this information on how to compost and what to do about composting. That's the thank you gift during this hour for a $120 pledge or more. All of those pledges will add up. A couple of $1,200 pledges
really
to go
help
on the cruise, that would really help. And then if we make that goal, an extra $500 from the current members of Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
And I should mention that the $1,200, actually, that's for a pair of tickets. So
that's right.
There's two people that go on the cruise for the $1,200. And so it's just not you. If you're contributing and you contribute $1,200, you and your spouse or friend or whatever, and we've had a little of everything on the trip. We've had spouses, we've had friends, we've had boyfriends and girlfriends, and we've had
I'm a mom and a son.
Mom and a son and a mom and a daughter. I know
we've had a nice gift for someone if you want to bring them along on the cruise.
Absolutely. 1-800-383-9772. Call in. Right now, we're moving up toward that goal. You can help us make it. Maybe it's another $6,000. That'd be about four or five of those $1,000, $1,200 contributions. That would put us right over the top. If you've been thinking about that, this would be a great time to do it because it's going to help us reach that challenge grant goal as well of an additional $500 from people who enjoy Garden Talk, who listen and say, hey, you know what, we'll put $500 in here and try and entice you to call in with your contribution. And your contribution is kind of a vote for Garden Talk. It's also obviously needed to help us with our own programming. About 30% or so of our programming now comes from listener support, people like you who have called in with their contributions. And I think about 1 in 10 people who listen actually call in with a contribution. You can be one of those 10 people, one of those 1 in 10 people to call in right now at 1-800-383-9772 or at
WPR.org.
Yeah.
And you know, Larry, there's many ways to pay for your contribution, your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. We will send you a bill in the mail if that's what you would like. You can choose to have us arrange an electronic funds transfer to take it out of your checking account on a monthly basis. You can put it on your credit card, and we accept all of the major credit cards. So have your credit card ready if you would like to do it that way when you make the call at 1-800-383-9772. You can also use your credit card on the website, WPR.org.
This is your chance to really make a difference and to really kind of join the family of listeners here at Wisconsin Public Radio, the Garden Talk family of listeners who have contributed. Many people have been very generous with their contributions over the years, and they tell me that they enjoy this program a lot, and that's why they contribute, because they want to they want to keep all the good programming here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And, you know, Garden Talk isn't going to go away anytime soon, I don't think, anyway.
Not with your call to 1-800-383-9772. You know, Larry, gardening is one of the favorite pastimes, hobbies of public radio listeners. And that's one of the reasons Garden Talk is here. And it's one of the reasons it's here is every time when you occasionally had on a gardening guest, the phones just lighted up and people wanted to talk about gardening. And now you've got such a wonderful array of regular guests who have just a wealth of information each and every week for Garden Talk on your lawns, on your indoor plants, on your fruits and vegetables, on your trees, everything having to do with gardening. Your questions answered every week right here. How much is that worth to you? $10 a month? $100 a month? Any amount needed and wanted at 1-800-383-9772.
We're down to the last minute or so here, and then we're going to have to go away. But there's still time for you to call in with your contribution. Don't forget that $120 will get you a copy of Compost, the natural way to make food for your garden. We'll also send you the member benefit card. And $1,200? Come on the cruise with us. Have some fun. Get a chance to talk to everybody here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to everybody who's contributed. And Lisa, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry.
Lisa Johnson, our guest. And thanks again. Call in now with your contribution.